Good morning, everybody. It's the 29th of December, 2014. Put away all those free Christmas gifts that Santa brought you. It's time for Weber This Week. Today, Joe Sicardi, the executive editor and publisher of the Reveille Between the Lakes, is my special guest to talk about his business and the longevity and the phenomenal history of the Reveille. He'll be my guest for the full half hour this morning as we welcome you on a chilly Monday morning, the 29th, and it's hard to believe. We all hope that you all had a great Christmas, by the way. And people ask me all the time, what did you get, dog, for your Christmas? I got a couple bags of coal. No big deal. I get them every year. Not a big deal. I'm into Christmas, but I think it's more for the kids. I used to fight my two brothers for a gift back in the 50s, but now moving forward some 50 years or 60 years, I want to see the little kids and my little kids. I got a granddaughter who's 16 going on 21. We got her some nice stuff. But anyways, I all hope you had a great Christmas, and I'm sure Joe and Jimmy agree with me that it's a great holiday. And, of course, we got one coming up in a couple of days, another one. And I was just telling Joe before we came on, it's amazing to me that we are yet ready to turn the calendar one more time to 2015 in just a couple of days. We'll talk more about that as the show progresses, and it's good to have you with us on a chilly Monday morning. First off, Joe Sicardi, my good guest this morning. Thanks for coming in, Joe, and talk about the history of the Reveille. And as I was preparing for the broadcast this morning, I was talking to you before we went on the air about the amazing history of the Reveille, and it dates back, I believe, to what, 1855?
That's correct.
Pretty staggering.
In one form of another, yes.
It's pretty amazing. And, of course, then it became the Waterloo Reveille, and then it became the Seneca Falls Waterloo Reveille.
Correct.
And so it dates back for some amazing number of years. And tell our viewers that may not know you personally, read the paper or whatever, have seen you, have seen your comments regarding the Reveille. Talk a little bit about your background, where you were born, where you went to school, and how you got involved in the paper business and then thus involved in running the Reveille.
Okay. Well, I was born in Paterson, New Jersey. Grew up there. And those familiar with it know that Paterson is about 40 miles from New York City, so I spent a lot of time in my youth in New York City as well.
Sure.
Went to a private technical high school. Mom and dad were blue-collar folk and weren't sure whether college was going to be in the offing or not, so I went to a technical high school for engineering, for electronics. Mm. After graduating, I managed to get into Manhattan University in the engineering program and quickly discovered that that was not my forte. Mm. To make some spending cash, I started working at a newspaper as a correspondent, as collecting the correspondence. I was a correspondent in high school, and I was on the other side of the phone getting the information from the correspondents. Mm-hmm. And boy, it just got in my blood from there, and it's been 49 years, so.
Wow. And of course, talk a little bit about your involvement with Howard Van Kirk. We all thought of the Reveille. We think of the Reveille, I do anyways, growing up, as Howard Van Kirk. Talk about your engagement with him and how you actually got involved in taking over the paper.
Well, I worked my way through around the country in the business. Went from Paterson to Newton, New Jersey. Ended up getting into the entirely different side, the production side, in Belvidere, Illinois. And then started working my way back. When I was in Washington, I wasn't particularly happy with the situations in Washington. My kids were going to school through metal detectors and things like that, and it was just foreign to me. So I was looking for something different, and I chose Seneca County. And I chose it because it did not have a newspaper in the county seat, and it did not have a daily newspaper in the county. So that's why I chose Seneca County. Opened up an office and started a brand new publication called Between the Lakes in April of 1994. And Howard and I started talking soon thereafter, and he was looking to retire, and it just made sense for both of us, you know, me to get the numbers and him to retire and start phasing down. And we came to an agreement, and it became the Reveille Between the Lakes. Hmm. And so that was probably late 94. Early 95.
And, of course, I remember working for WSFW when I was with Goulds. I applied for a part-time job as a sportscaster because I always had that in my blood as well. and I was able to get the job and start doing sports on WSFW, which began in 1970, as you know, down the street from where we are presently.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the Suen family owned the station along with Sam Bunis. Mr. Bud Suen and Sam Bunis bought the radio station. And later on, a few years later, George Suen, who, of course, needs no introduction, took over the ownership of WSFW, I'm sure with other family members involved. And I remember George Suen telling myself and other people who were at the station one day, Joe, and I don't know if you agree or not, he basically told the staff and all the on-air personalities that in George's mind, a political spat at the Board of Supervisors level to George Suen is much more important than a war in Iraq.
Oh, I definitely agree with that. You know, I often say, if it doesn't happen in Seneca County, it doesn't really happen. So we're plugged into the county, and that doesn't just mean the supervisors.
No, I know.
It doesn't just mean Waterloo or Seneca Falls.
Exactly.
It means the entire county.
Exactly.
And that was my goal, was to unite the county, and that has been difficult.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's some divides in the county.
I'm sure there are, yeah. And I'm sure you could write a book. Joe Sicardi, my special guest this morning, executive editor and publisher of The Reveille Between the Lakes, who's been kind enough to carve out 30 minutes to join the Weber This Week show. And Joe, of course, you being able and certainly working to try to get to all of the meetings that you are asked to attend to cover for The Reveille, I'm sure you're dragged during the course of a week 78 different directions.
Yes.
How do you find time, A, to get to all the meetings? And I'm sure you must prioritize where you're going to be at a certain night.
I do. I rely heavily on correspondents.
Mm-hmm.
I do have some correspondents who help me out.
Sure.
I get to as many meetings as possible, and I do prioritize. And honestly, the priorities have changed since my wife died.
Sure.
And I'm attending fewer meetings personally than I was, but 10 years ago I'd be gone almost every night.
I was going to say, because it's amazing. Knowing that you want to be there to certainly document the information, not to say your correspondents aren't doing a good job, but I'm certainly would like to have you in the audience as well. And I had Dave Shaw on a couple of weeks ago on this show, who's been a mm-hmm. friend of mine for many years, and you know, he is kind of phasing down his career, even though I don't think he'll ever get up his pencil or pen. But he was commenting the same thing. He's doing the Indian stories, which of course are numerous,
right?
Never to end, by the way. Sort of like Friends repeats on television. They continue to come back. Every night there's Friends. And Dave Shaw will continue to be a part of the writing business, which, of course, he does a fantastic job. And, of course, the casino and everything else. I think it'd be remiss if we didn't talk about your role as far as analyzing and making determinations of important topics. Certainly, maybe this isn't number one. I guess it probably is number one in my mind. Of course, the oops, the fumble by the Board of Supervisors, the Harris Beach, which has been long documented. I wrote a letter to the editor, which you published. I'm a graduate of Miners Academy in 63. I don't have much more education than that. I'm not a great scholar when it comes to things. But I'm thinking, Joe, in my demented mind, that to me has to be one of the worst fumbles of all time relative to, with all due respect to our county courts and our town courts, it's not like getting a document to them on time. We're talking about the Supreme Court of the United States. Have you really wrestled with that? Have you thought about long and hard of how that could have happened or why did it happen?
Well, yeah, I have.
It's amazing.
And I haven't come up with a reasonable explanation. There's just, you know, how a legal firm with as many assets as
Harris Beach
has,
yeah,
not just in one location but throughout the state,
sure,
how they could have missed that is just beyond comprehension. And yet you just have to wonder, too. I know that the county has been very diligent in monitoring what was going
right.
on.
Right.
How they got blindsided. So,
yeah,
there's just no clear-cut answer.
It is probably going to be one of the top stories,
mm-hmm.
not to steal your thunder. I'm sure if you look back from an editorial standpoint, Finger Lakes Times, the Reveille, I'm sure, would have that close to the top, if not at the top, of one of the
Certainly.
Top stories of the year. I mean, you just think about it. I understand Harris Beach hired a firm to handle the time check of that, which they inadvertently gave the wrong data, supposedly. And I've had discussions with Bob Heisen, of course, the chairman, who, by the way, you know, I have taken shots at Bob a lot on this show, and certainly I guess it's my liberty to do that when I think he's wrong. But I must give him credit about the Lago operation. Certainly, Joe, and speaking with Joe Sicardi, obviously Bob Heisen sniffed out, along with Tom Wilmot, the decision to have Tom Wilmot come to the area, check out this site for a potentiality. As we all know, backtracking, that the state of New York, us, and the legislature adopted the idea of putting together a idea to put four casinos, up to four casinos, in this great state. This was a few years ago, and of course, we as citizens of the New York State voted and agreed with the theory that casinos should be placed in New York State. Well, now let's move fast forward. They are being awarded. One in Schenectady, one in Catskills, and one about 2.5 miles from here. So in sleepy, I always call it sleepy, tired New York. Mm-hmm. I'm still amazed at that location, by the way. But in deference to Bob Heisen, I'm critical of Bob on a lot of occasions, but I must give him credit where credit is due. He was the first hound dog, I guess, along with Wilmot, knowing that he was in the area, to obviously engage with Tom. And when Tom was going to put together as a developer the idea of putting the casino, which is now known as Lago, and I think he needs to get credit where credit is due. So whether he gets the chairmanship of 2015 for his third term, I still want to give out his praise and say that he did a great job in that. And now, of course, Joe Sicardi, our guest, certainly now it is now official. The announcement was made a couple of weeks ago. Some people in the Southern Tier aren't too happy about it. Obviously, if you look at depressed areas of New York State, and you certainly research this as well, you can make an argument that the Southern Tier is the worst off right now versus us, mm-hmm. and they were ignored. Whether they were ignored for getting a casino license is because of the fact that maybe, I don't know, they lost the IBM scenario. You wonder, and I'm trying to think of why they didn't get it, and I'm glad we kind of got it. Mm-hmm. But you look at the Southern Tier, they're in shambles, no fracking, no right. casino. And the gentleman who owns the Tioga Downs was on Capitol Tonight stating that the governor stuck a knife in his back and told him to come up with $800,000 of his own money to move this process at the Southern Tier level, and then come to find out they weren't chosen. And ironically, they had one more to give, and they didn't give four. They only gave out three. So your views on that? Do you think that the governor and his office were involved? They are saying not a chance that happened. They're saying that they left it to these committees, they left it to these various boards, and the governor stayed out of it. Do you see some truth to that, or do you think the governor may have had some input we're not even ever being told?
Well, when you're talking about the governor's office,
yes.
no matter who the governor is,
right, exactly.
there's processes that go on that you don't, you'll never know, or you won't find out for years.
Right.
I don't think Governor Cuomo was actively involved in the processing and the citing process. Mm-hmm. I think he may have been surprised at the outcome, and I think that's why you see the information coming out now that, well, maybe they should revisit a fourth casino and put it down in the Southern Tier. I don't think it would impact us as much because we're quite a ways away from
right.
either Tioga Downs or Binghamton.
Right.
But and I think we have a different corridor that we'd be dealing with. So, mm-hmm. Good luck to them if that's what they want to do. But there again, you know, if you pick Tioga Downs, what about the Binghamton project?
Yeah.
You know, if you pick Binghamton, what about the Tioga Downs project? So.
Well, you know, it was funny the day they made the announcement, and Joe Sicardi, our special guest here on Weber This Week, hope you're having a good Monday AM wherever you're checking us out. The executive editor and the publisher of the Reveille Between the Lakes is my special guest this morning. When I sat there along with my wife Mary in our living room waiting for the announcement, which came a little after 2 o'clock on the 17th of December, I was curious, and I know Jim was as well, whether or not Lago would win and get one of them. My first tell take to the decision was when the first one got announced in the Catskills, they got one, a long-suffering region, as you can appreciate, and Jim and myself know, having spent quite a bit of time down there. But when I first heard the gentlemen of the board, each three of them took chances or availability to announce who was being selected to get a gaming license. The first one in the Catskills was a $350 million project. And I looked at my wife, Mary, and they announced earlier that they were only giving out three. So right. we didn't have to worry about the four. When I heard the 350 scope, I instantly said that we were probably going to win this because we were talking 425. Correct. They weren't looking for effectiveness. They were looking for the grand scheme of things with the huge opportunities to put together a Las Vegas casino type, a.k.a. Bellagio or the Wynn or whatever. When I heard 350, I thought, well, there was a lot of bids that were 100, 120, Joe, 140 million. They got bypassed on the first installment at 350, and I thought, if the next one's in the $300 million range, we definitely are going to get it. And the next one, of course, was Schenectady, and that was, I think, Jimmy, 320. Yeah. It was over $300 million. So we had a 350 and a 320. I may be off on my math a little bit, but they were huge, huge complexes. And if you weren't in the $300 million range after the first two, you need not apply.
Right.
And then all of a sudden the gentleman says, now we're going to go to the Southern Tier, Finger Lakes region, and we are choosing Lago. Wow.
And then you hear Bob Hyson's voice.
Yeah, you hear. Right.
He screamed.
Yeah, right. And I'm thinking to myself, it seemed to me like a landslide when you heard the 350, 320. And again, those numbers may be off, but they were huge events by developers. They weren't in the 100 and 130, 160. There were bids in that range, too. They didn't even have a shot. They were going for the grand scheme of things, and that's what they got. Mm-hmm. And I guess I need to ask you before, obviously, we end the show, and we're going to take a commercial break in a couple of seconds. Joe Sagardi, our guest this morning. What was your reaction? Did you think it was going to happen, Joe? And what is your view of the Lago being entire New York?
Well, I thought it was the best proposal for the Southern Tier.
Okay.
I thought the location was perfect. Mm-hmm. I feel sorry for some of the people in entire who disagree with that. I understand that, but this could have tremendous repercussions for throughout the county.
Yeah.
Certainly entire and, right. and throughout the rest of the county as well. Just the corridor from Albany to Buffalo is now open to another casino.
Right.
And I think that if it's managed right, and the glitz of casinos doesn't diminish.
Yeah.
It'll do well. I think everybody will be very pleasantly pleased. Wilmot, from the information that I've received, you know, has just gone out of their way to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. Whether that continues remains to be seen. And sometimes you say things before they happen, but they seem to be interested in addressing the problems that could arise. Mm-hmm. And if they follow through on that, I think it'll be good for the county.
Well, working with CMAC up in Canandaigua for entertainment, to tie them in with their complex that they're going to be building, to work with local farmers, to work with local contractors. They're doing all the right things Tom Wilmot has done, and we'll see how it all pans out. It certainly is. I think they're moving dirt as we speak. but again, they don't officially have the license as per se, but it should happen in the next few weeks. I would think that's just a detail. And, you know, I do think, and again, maybe it's because of my age, I do think that, you know, I spent a lot of time at the McGee Diner. Mm-hmm. Gary Schlegel, the owner there, is a good friend of mine. I've had him on the show a few weeks ago as well. And Gary was excited about the prospect. And certainly now he is smiling from one ear to the next. But I'm old-fashioned. I think of things that I'm sort of been called anal by my wife, Mary. I sit at the McGee Diner presently today on a weekend day. And I have my eggs and my bacon and my toast and my coffee, and I leave, and I'm looking both sides of the road. How am I going to get out of here? The trucks are coming by, Joe, and the cars are going by to the thruway, and I'm going, this is pre-casino. what's going to happen when we have another 9,000 visitors come into town? I just don't know how it's all going to pan out.
Yeah.
And with all due respect to the contractors, maybe they got a plan. I hope they do, because I don't know. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be wild.
That was one of the one of the things that still has to be addressed. The DOT has to get involved in traffic control and what have you.
I don't know how it's going to do it.
But, you know, already it has spawned additional development.
Yep.
The Sesslers are,
I saw
are,
that.
Are in fact, they're going tonight. To the board meeting to present their plans. That'll just be the first of, I think,
many
coming down the road.
Joe Sicardi, our special guest this morning, the executive editor and the publisher of The Reveille Between the Lakes. He's been kind enough to carve out a half an hour with us. Let's take a break here from our commercial great sponsors that make this show possible. When we come back, we'll talk about a few sports tidbits. Huga Lake National Bank, Bill Ryan and his team for all of your banking needs. Offices in Union Springs and Aurora, a fine sponsor of this show for over 30 years. DA Liquor, Seneca Falls. Amy Padula and her great team will find that right spirit for you every time. Tell Amy the dog sent you. Steve Wadhams, Wadhams Enterprises, your employer of choice. Proud supporter of this show and local athletics. Bob and Leslie Ullman, owners of the Ullman Theater, in Lions as well as the Newark Pilots, a minor league baseball team with a major league ballpark. SenecaFallsCountryClub.com, awesome 18-hole layout, offering a 12-month payment plan. Wilson Press, WPress.com, Seneca Falls, Rich Rickey, my good friend and his team, can handle all of your printing and mailing needs. Welcome back, everybody. It's a dog with you with Joe Sicardi as my guest this morning, the fine gentleman representing the Reveille, of course, the publisher and the executive editor. As we always do on this show, a couple of quick tidbits in regards to the world of sports. Now the real football starts, in my opinion, playoff time, baby. Just to give you an idea of the schedule, coming up Saturday, Arizona takes on Carolina at Carolina, 4:20 ESPN. That's the first game to go off on Saturday. Baltimore travels to Pittsburgh, game 2, 8:15 NBC. And, you know, Jimmy and maybe Joe don't agree with me, but I think there's something illegal, immoral, wrong to allow a losing record like the Carolina Panthers to make the playoffs. I'm sorry.
The Bills are 2 games over 500. They beat New England.
I just have a hard time believing that this is right. The NFL owners need to address this. If you don't have at least a break-even record, you should stay home. I mean, Philadelphia had 10 wins. They're sitting home. I mean, to me, it's ludicrous how you allow a team with a losing record not only to make the playoffs, but also have a home game because you won their division. There's something really wrong, unethical about that. And I'm hoping and praying in my lifetime that the NFL looks at that and says, hey, timeout. If you can't be 8-8, you're not going to make the playoffs. I'm sorry. And that's embarrassing for the NFL in my judgment. And not only do they make the playoffs, they get a home game as well. Sorry, you Carolina fans. That's the way I feel about it. And by the way, on Sunday, wild card games continue. Cincinnati takes on Indianapolis. That's a 105 CBS start. And then Detroit travels to Dallas, 440 on Fox. That's your wrap-up for the wild card weekend. And by the way, the Aaron Rodgers situation, if you watched the Packer-Detroit game yesterday, it was classic. Joe and myself are old enough to remember this. I think Jimmy's too young. It brought back, it harkened back to the days of Willis Reed coming out of the locker room at Madison Square Garden. I remember that like it happened 2 days ago. The crowd at the MSG went nuts. He led the team to the championship, the finals. I remember it like it happened 3 days ago. Aaron Rodgers coming out of the tunnel yesterday after the strained calf. 14-14, 14-0 lead. Detroit scores 2 to tie it up 14-all. Here comes Aaron the Savior. And they win 28-14. Good night, Detroit. Amazing, Joe.
And he did it with class.
He
waited in the tunnel until the end of the series.
I loved it. It was great. And that Sue guy, that big dude for Detroit, what is wrong with those guys? You know, we all have fetishes, I guess. Must be the Lions have a fetish of stepping on people's feet. And the week before, the center gets suspended for game yesterday because he stepped on somebody's foot from the defensive side of their game 2 weeks ago. Yesterday, Sue, after Rodgers gets back in, literally just steps on his foot, puts pressure on it, and didn't sort of like say, oops, sorry.
Yeah.
He just went back to the huddle.
Never turned around. I don't think the first one was intentional.
Yeah.
You know, but when you're when you're on the field and you step on something, you know it's something odd. Never even turned around.
We'll see what the NFL does. They might suspend him. They might, depending on the severity. And it looked like it. And Rodgers didn't like it because he slapped him and he said, I didn't quite appreciate. But the Lions seem to have this thing now, stepping on people's feet. Be interested to see what the NFL does, by the way, on this. And by the way, congratulations to the Mirus boys, the Bills. Yes, they finally got a winning record. First time in 10 years. 9-7, baby. But I wouldn't get overly too giddy about this. They did win. They finally won a game in Foxborough. Okay. But remember, Gronkowski, who's the best tight end in football, didn't play at all. And a guy named Brady only played a half. So I understand the Bills are happy this morning. I don't want to take away your enjoyment. But understand that two of their aces only played. One didn't play at all. And, of course, Brady, they sat down because it meant nothing to the Patriots. But, by the way, Bills fans, you need to smile this morning. You finally did something you haven't done in 10 years, post the winning record. And those Atlanta Falcons, what's up with this team? I'm not a big fan of the coach there. I never have been. Everybody was pumped up for Atlanta yesterday. Big showdown against Carolina, Atlanta, 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 Hotlanta, Hotlanta. They lose 34-3. Why come out of the locker room? Oh, my God. Matt Ryan, he's on fire. Oh, God. 34-3. Talk about an embarrassing loss. And by the way, Rex Ryan, for all you Jets fans that want him out, he's gone as of later today. They're making an announcement. And general manager John Idzik is also going to be fired, according to good sources this morning on ESPN. They'll be axed. And, of course, other people will be axed, too. Today is axe day in the NFL.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Later on, the little thing on the bottom, what is that called? Jimmy the trailer at the bottom of the screen?
The ticker?
The ticker. Ah, that'll be on there. Everybody will be losing jobs today. So Rex Ryan and Idzik will be fired later today by the Jets. Question is, what's going to happen with Tommy Coughlin? They lose to Philadelphia yesterday.
He'll be back.
What do you think, Joe? Think Tommy needs another trip back?
I think he'll be back.
Let's see what happens.
You know, he just didn't have the talent to go along with.
Yep.
He had a lot of injuries.
Oh, sure he did.
This year. And I think he'll be back.
I'll tell you that Beckham's a phenomenal player. Oh, does he catch footballs? Oh, well, Randall had a great day yesterday.
Yep.
But, yeah, they're young. And the receiving core is young. Yep. And Manning's coming into the second half of his career. And I think that as far as Coughlin goes, I think he's going to have one more year.
Yep.
And I think it'll be a good one. I mean, he's kind of won two Super Bowls. That's the thing. Why would you even consider letting someone go who's won two Super Bowls?
Well, Joel, tell you, he lived in New Jersey, and he was a stone's throw away from New York. Those Giant fans are unique, aren't they?
Oh,
They want a piece of meat.
But the ownership is similar to Pittsburgh Steelers. They're going to be loyal and stick with their guy.
They are.
There's a lot. That's what makes the Giants organization and the Steelers, I think, a notch above everybody else in the NFL in terms of the amount of championships they won and the way they conduct themselves.
Well, before I wrap up our high school coverage, we want to get Joe to give us a few last comments. Joe, thank you for spending some time with us this morning.
My pleasure.
And as you look forward to a new year, new challenges, and I wish you nothing but the best.
Thank you.
And
appreciate that.
I understand that a lot of people will be curious about the Lago as it continues to progress. And I do feel bad for some of those people out there that we had the dollies on who are anti-casino, and, of course, now they've lost the cause, even though they say they're going to continue to fight the cause. I don't know. There's a time where you just have to put out the white flag, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to happen, and it'll be interesting to see what develops. And like you say, the Department of Transportation and the DOT and all those throughway workers need to figure out a way to get traffic flowing. That's the only concern I have. I don't know how it's going to work. Maybe it will, but one of my part-time jobs, I was telling you before I went on air, I've got about 14 of them. I was a throughway collector as well. I was in the booth.
This guy has done it all.
I've done it all, baby. You want to tell me anything, and I've done it. I worked at Thruway for 18 months, and then it interrupted my golf schedule, so I quit there. But I used to watch people come off the Thruway in the summertime. Joe, they would call. They would rip me a new one because it took them like 25 minutes to get to the booth. And they would scream at me because they only didn't have easy pass. And I would ask them, why don't you have easy pass? They want Big Brother looking over their shoulder. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, with another 9,000 people coming off 41, maybe they'll have 41A for the Lago. I hope so.
There'll probably be a direct access.
I hope so. And speaking of the Lago, we've invited Bob Heisen, who said he would do this along with bringing Tom Wilmot in for this show for a special broadcast. if we can't get them booked on a Monday, I'm booked out now through early February. Jim has approved of bringing them in on a Wednesday or Thursday for a 10 a.m. special broadcast. We are working on that. Bob Heisen is working on that. So, again, let us remind you that when that happens and when Bob tells me it will happen, we'll let you know here on Finger Lakes One. We want to get Bob Heisen along with Tim Wilmot in here to talk about Lago. And that should come up hopefully in the next few weeks. By the way, upcoming guests, a guy that Joe knows very well, my friend Brad Jones will be in the house. He just had a story in Joe's paper regarding the $1.7 million of unpaid taxes. I'm sure that'll be his main topic. He'll be here next week on the couch. And then on the 12th of January, Sal Franzone, the young entrepreneur who has opened up Cicino's, and now he's got an expansion into Geneva. He'll be our guest on the 19th. Need not introduce these folks. Cindy Lorenzetti, Steve Churchill of the Board of Supervisors will be on the couch. They're always a good twosome to have on the program. And Mrs. America, we get the Beauty and the Beast. I'll be the Beast that day. She'll be the Beauty. Jessica Lahr.
Mrs. New York.
Mrs. New York. Yeah.
She's hoping to be Mrs. America.
Mrs. America. Well, I wanted to give her a title change already. She's from Geneva, New York. She'll be on the couch. And that'll be a great show. And of course, on the 2nd of February, the day after the Super Bowl, Kelly and Joe Cosentino, the Blossom Flower Operation across the street, will be in. And what a good time to have them in, because it'll be, what, 12 days away from one of their busiest days of the year, if not the busiest day of the year? Good old Valentine's Day.
Right.
So, and by the way, folks, as we wrap up this show on a Monday morning, we thank you for joining us. Let's not forget Finger Lakes High School basketball. We took a few days off for the holidays, but our crew will be in shape tonight from Waterloo. North Rose Wilcott comes in for a doubleheader. Girls game starts at 6, boys at 7:30. Jimmy and crew will be on the air about 10 of 6 or so in that area. Tonight's broadcast will be handled by Brendan Harrington, along with a new gentleman.
Well, no, Tony Robinson has called a couple games for us last year. He usually works with Brendan. He does also does some games with Brendan in Canandaigua on the radio. And then Zach Young, Lions head coach, will be the third man in the booth. We like to do three guys for the doubleheaders.
All right, so that'll be tonight. Doubleheader, North Rose Wilcott at Waterloo. Check that action out. Then Friday night, Jimmy and company will be heading over to Lions, which Jimmy is always a great broadcast. Clyde Savannah comes to Lions.
Yeah, well, I'm really excited because we've always done Lions at Clyde.
Yes.
Because the Atwood Gymnasium is really small and historic.
Yeah.
So it presents some challenges to us doing that. But I went over and athletic director Steve Veter was really excited about the possibility of us coming and really helpful. I know that Zach has been pushing it for a few years trying to get us to come to the Atwood. So on Friday, we're coming, January 2nd, first webcast of 2015, Clyde at Lions, and it's going to be quite an atmosphere inside that gym. I think it's the best rivalry in the Wayne Finger Lakes.
And I'm dusting off my throat to come out a week from tomorrow as I get back on the air along with my crew. We'll be working the Mid-Lake Screaming Eagles come to Miners Academy. That'll be on the 6th of January. I'm looking forward to oiling up the pipes and calling that game on Finger Lakes One. Well, folks, by the way, another special broadcast. Jimmy, New Year's Eve, let's talk about it. You'll be there with Finger Lakes One.
Yep, tune in to FingerLakesOne.com, Finger Lakes One TV on Wednesday about 11:30. We'll go live from downtown Seneca Falls, right outside the Gould Hotel. The Antonina's annual ball drop is now at the Gould. And it should be something different. But if you can't make it down there, or if you're out of town, you want to get a little hometown flavor, log on and watch the webcast as we bring in the new year together.
Very good. Okay, Joe Sicardi, a happy new year to you and your family. And look
Same
forward
to you.
Having you
happy
come back.
Happy new year, Joe. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Look forward to having you come down the road, come back down the road, and come back in down the road a bit. Look forward to having that happen. All right, folks. Well, listen, I always give you a sermon from the old dog, and I'm going to give you a sermon as I end my show this morning. Listen, the cops are everywhere out there. They're watching for seatbelts. They're watching for stupid people that don't know how to drive. Let me tell you something. I've been driving these highways and byways for a long, long time. I'm telling you, they got grass over their cars just trying to keep them behind barns to get you, the stupid person driving that car. I know New Year's Eve is coming up. I know you want to go out and have a good time and have a few drinks. That's the problem. If you have a few drinks, have a designated driver. Don't be stupid and get arrested for DWI because, folks, they're out there. They're out there in mass, and they're going to get you. So be careful and be smart. Take care, everybody. I'll check you out in a new year. Next week, I have my good friend Brad Jones. For Joe Sicardi and Jim Sonacrobi, the dog saying, take care. That's Weber this week. My way.
FL1.com. Visit patreon.com/FL1.